I said the Lord is good. If you're happy and you are glad that you are alive and well this 2013, this is our first prayer meeting for the year. So if you're happy, say amen.
Amen.
So I'll answer you. I'll ask you again. So give me a very warm answer. The Lord is good. All right. If you have your Bibles, can you just rise to your feet? I want us to read this portion of the scriptures together. Yes. On your feet. All right. Psalm 91. If you are there, say amen. I want you to read it like you believe it and read it, not shout through the roof, but read it like your neighbor must like your neighbor must hear what you are reading. Amen? So let's start together Psalm 91 from verse 1. We are reading to the very end. Alright? Want to go, any version you have, just read it. It dwells in the shelter of the Most High, will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. For it is he who delivers you from the snare of the trapper and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you may seek refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and bulwark. You will not be afraid of the terror by night, or of the arrow that flies by day, or of the pestilence that stalks in darkness, or of the destruction that lays waste at noon. 1,000 may fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not approach you. You will only look on with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked. For you have made the Lord my refuge, even the Most High your dwelling place. No evil will befall you, nor will any plague come near your tent. For he will give his angels charge concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will bear you up in their hands, that you do not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent you will trample down. Because he has loved me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him securely on high, because he has known my name. He will call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and honor him. With a long life, I will satisfy him, and let me see my salvation. And let him see my salvation. I read from the New American Standard. It's a very crucial psalm. I think you should read it once in a while. You should just wake up and start reading Psalm 91. It's very important. What I just want to explain to us again, you can sit down for a moment, then you will stand again when we begin to pray. We're going to be here for about an hour. Normally we start our prayer meetings in February. As January, we take time to settle down. But I just felt this year like we should not waste any time. That as soon as we recommence our meetings, we should quickly just get into our prayer meetings because it's very important. I was in a church. I was invited for a, a prophetic meeting, yes, a church service on Sunday. And the man of God that was ministering prophetically, and he spoke again and again, and he will emphasize, do this before this particular date, and this is likely to happen, that pray so that it will not happen. A number of times he will give dates like in January and in March. And well, before I heard that, of course, we had already announced that we are having our prayer meeting today. We announced that on Saturday. But that, again, just for me, reinforced what I was thinking, that let us start praying early. Let's not leave things lying till February. All right? The Lord is good. I said, the Lord is good. You know, the whole of last year, we did only very few days of Bible exegesis on Tuesdays. Most of the days were prayer times. And I think it's the Spirit of God trying to help us understand that it's very important we pray. Jesus said, men ought always to pray and not to get discouraged. Men ought always to pray and not to lose heart. You know, somebody forwarded something to my email today. A letter somebody wrote to Nigerians in diaspora. It's a very funny letter. I wish I could forward it to you to read. It's somewhere on the web. Telling people that, look, thank you very much. You've left Nigeria, but don't discourage us. We are not going anywhere. You understand? That don't remove hope from us. It's one thing that people need, hope. All right? And because of that hope that we have, which is born out of faith, actually, all right? And because it has been produced, we have to continue to pray so that the things that we have hoped for, we manifest manifest quickly is important. You know, if we are slack in praying about things, oftentimes what we cause is a delay in the manifestation. All right? So that's why I just felt like, look, let's start immediately. You know, like I said last year, we didn't do too many of those days of school of Bible exegesis. I believe that the emphasis the Holy Spirit is placing upon our hearts is that we must pray. Now listen to me, let me say it again. Men ought how often to pray? How often? How often? Always. Now there are two ways you describe always. Always is in time and in manner. Amen?
Amen.
What do I mean by time? Always is morning, afternoon, and night, you know, noon, in between, when you are sleeping. You wake up during the night, something woke you up, you pray. That's why always. All manners, all right? Again, is pray lying down, pray while eating, pray laughing, pray crying, pray by giving thanks, pray by prophesying. But whatever it is, make sure your mouth is engaged in doing something. You know, on Saturday, I began to teach, and I explained that you have to be heaven-minded. And when we talk about that, we do not mean that you'll be thinking of when I get to heaven, I'll have a big mansion, you know. Have you ever seen a rich man say that kind of thing, say when I get to heaven, I'll have a big mansion? Some people have small houses on the earth. They are looking towards a big one in heaven. That's not what the Bible means when it says that you should be, you know, minded of things that are in heaven. What it means is that when you are looking at affairs of this earth, you should use a mindset of somebody who abides in the realm of the Spirit. And I said that heavenly realms have different levels. And many of the things that people practice, you know, occultism and all of that. You know, today my wife was giving me some stories about people who, you know, they know things. I said, listen, that those are low levels of occultism. Familiar spirits following up and down and reporting on other people. Are you getting my point? That's a low level of occultism. That the real level, the highest level, you know, it's very interesting. When Christians understand this, you see a man who can know things, you know, you just say your phone number, he calls your phone number for you, and then you're impressed. You understand my point? Just because you have never known somebody's phone number. Let me tell you the truth. Those are not the high levels. What did I say? Those are not the high levels. Let me ask you a question. Who operated more? Who operated at the higher realm? Was he Elisha or his servant when they were surrounded on the mountain? Elisha. Who saw the armies? Was it Elisha or his servant? His servant. The man that needs to see, his level is still low. There are some men that they are in a level where they don't need to see. They know what is there. I don't know what you're getting my point. Yes. Elisha didn't need to see. You understand? He knew what was there. It's a servant that had to be show him something so that his mind will calm down. What am I trying to say? You don't need to feel before you know you're operating in the heavenly realms. All you need to do is take the word of God. Are you getting my point? He said, the word is nigh thee. Even in thy mouth. Are you getting my point? Which is the word of faith with which we preach. That is, which we preach. Once you take that word, all right, whether you see visions or you don't see vision, whether you fail, you just woke up in the morning, something is shaking on your body, or you woke up very, very slowly. You know, some people open the boot very fast in the morning, or some people, they boot very slowly. Whichever way it is, once you have the word of God in your mouth, you are a heavenly fellow. Do you understand my point? Yes. And that's how we operate from the realm of the Spirit. We were talking about that on Saturday. So what I want to emphasize here again, all right, this after evening is this. The fact that Christians must be like that, we must understand that we are always constantly engaged in warfare. That's what I'm going to explain. And because we are constantly and always engaged in warfare, we must always, all right, be ready to fight. That's what I'm talking about, the shield of faith. Life keep on uttering things for you, telling you, trying to, like that thing I told, I was reading, trying to remove hope from you. People are always telling you things. You know, like somebody, the guy who wrote, he said that, how come you guys always blow up the negative things that occur, but you don't remember to blow up the positive things that occur? This is the reason. Because the whole world lies under the power of the wicked one. Are you getting my point? And the reason is that he's trying to weaken your faith. He's trying to reduce your confidence in your hope. And you have a duty to maintain that faith. You have a duty to fight back all the time. So when life gives you situations, they give you arguments on why you should fail, on why things will not go well with you, don't just sit down there and start reasoning that they're making sense. That's earthly reasoning. Are you getting my point? That's what? Earthly reasoning. What you instantly do is get up to the heavenly levels, and which is the word of God. You get my point? And begin to fight back. Remember what I said in that book, By Faith Acquire Life. Anytime you hear negative things about your life on the earth, it's not honest, it's not plain, it's not simple. These are echoes of what?
accusation. That's what I call them. Those are the things that Satan is speaking against you in heavenly realms. And what you need to do, okay, is to argue in your own favor. You must argue in your own case by taking the word of God and uttering back. Are you getting my point? And listen, and the word of God doesn't have to make sense. Sense conforms to the uttered word of God eventually. The word of God does not have to make sense. That is, it doesn't have to be reasonable. You know, once you can deduce it, it's earthly realm or first realm of the heavens, not the third heavens. The one that doesn't make sense, you see a man who doesn't have money, didn't go to school much, and suddenly just declared that this aviation self, one day we will control it and rearrange the flights to be very regular in Nigeria. That one is good. Amen? If that kind of word ever fell from your mouth one day, don't laugh at yourself. Remember it and continue to say it. Eventually, the events on this earth will cooperate to bring that word to pass. Please, I hope you are following the point I'm going to make. I'm going to emphasize something. Why would we always pray? Because we realize that this is not fight. What did I say? What did I say? I want you to answer me like you are here. What did I say? Not fight. Not fight. There are two kinds of wicked people on this earth, wicked beings on this earth. One, they are human beings. Second one, they are spirits. And the Bible calls them wicked spirits in heavenly places. They don't like the fact that you are sitting down here at peace. They don't like it. You came down, nobody's arresting you on the road. Nobody's shooting you. You just come to Bible study like that. You went to work like that. You think they are happy? And if they are not happy, those guys, they like to stir up trouble. They have trouble planned for 2013. They have trouble planned for 2014. They have trouble planned for 2015. Are you getting my point? Yeah, they do. But what do? It's simple. You wield the shield of faith and fight back with the sword of the Spirit. Listen, I was thinking about it. That was a few days ago. How do we resist the onslaught of the devil? There are three things you do. I hope I can remember the three. I wrote three down. Number one, and I'll try and remember. If I don't remember, remind me later to tell you the third one. Number one, resist every temptation of the devil. Number two, put the word of God. That's actually where I was going. Put the word of God in your mouth always. Or in the third one now. And if I remember it, I'll tell you. Now, I'm bringing an issue here. You do those two things continually. One day I preached, somebody said, I was talking about Delilah will come into your life. You can't help it. You can't help it. You will meet your Delilah one day. And I didn't say men. No. Every human. Delilah is not a woman. I hope you understand that. Delilah is a what? Spirit. What did I say? It's a spirit. Men meet their Delilah. Women meet their Delilah. It's a spirit. So once I was preaching once. And you know, I think that was in one campus. Somewhere in Anambra State. I think Federal Polytechnic. Oku, I think so. And one young man asked a question afterwards. That how will I know my Delilah? The idea is that so that I won't fall for her. Because we analyzed the life of Samson. Samson met Delilah. And you know what happened to him? Delilah did not only remove his hair, remove his eyes, and then remove his head. You know what I'm saying? Eventually he died. That's the point I'm trying to make. Alright? So I was warning people about Delilah. So tonight, Bobo fear. And you should be afraid. You know what I'm saying? So he wanted to know how he would identify his Delilah. So when he finds her, you kill her first. That kind of thing. And I said to him, I do not have any biometrics with which you can scan your Delilah when she comes and identify her. Because that's actually not the message. The message, this is why I'm talking about that now. The message really is that Samson, don't lose your strength and you don't have to know whether you have met your Delilah or not. Are you getting my point? That is when Samson weakens his spiritual energy. That's when Delilah takes him down. If Samson does not weaken his spiritual energy, Delilah will never take him down. Bring another issue here. Sometimes so people want to know what is the devil planning against me. That's what I'm talking about. That's the issue of Delilah. I'm telling you again, you don't need to know. What did I say? You don't need to know specifically. Many battles have been fought, all right, over your life. That you are not consciously aware of them. So what do? Just like I said about Samson, make sure you are strong. Make sure you don't lose your spiritual strength. In the same manner as believers, we keep on fighting our warfare as prescribed in the scriptures. One, we resist every temptation of the devil, whichever way it comes. And number two, we are always firing off the sword of the Spirit. We are always quenching the fiery darts of the wicked one with our shield of faith. That is, once things are uttered, all right, just respond. Listen, hey, I don't want to teach too much. I want us to take that scripture, this Psalm 91. And there's a reason why we read it, all right? Let me try not to teach too much. But the point I want to make here is this. The devil can't do anything really to you. You sitting there listening to me, Christians who have been hearing the word of God, without suggesting it to you first. Has God really said, that's where he comes from. All right? And don't forget what I said. You know, you'll get a mail from me this evening. Just something I've thought about before. I titled it, Are you rich toward God? All your giving is always in church, in ministry, to a pastor. That is all. You understand my point? Okay, maybe not all, maybe 99%. Most likely you are not a generous person. Most likely you are trying to bribe God. That is why the poor never gets anything from you, but the church gets from you all the time. Amen? Amen. What I'm telling is the truth, alright? There's a reason why I just mentioned that. I want you just to explain something, okay? Now, so I said, listen. The people who behave like that is because they think God is only in those places. But we must learn to recognize that God is in many places. Are you getting my point? And if you see in the scriptures, when Jesus wanted to describe the way he will come disguised, he said he will come disguised as the least of these my brethren, these my little ones. So many people have given to God, they think. Meanwhile, they refuse to give to God when he came. Are you getting my point? There's a reason why I'm saying that. And there's a reason why I'm explaining that. Or I want to use it to explain something. Also, in the same manner, many people... Now, you've gotten the concept there. God is not only in church, and is not only inside a man of God when it comes to receiving offerings. It comes in many ways. Of course, he's in church, he's in a man of God, but he's also in an ordinary person on the road who's just poor, who's just hungry. Now, let's turn it the other way around. Satan is not always in a shrine. You hear what I said? Yes. If you're following me, say amen now.
Yes.
Why are you doing like you're not following what I'm saying? Satan is not always in a shrine. Just like God is not always in the church. People think that Satan, and it's only when you see one man on the road with tie, one red band on it, and he's he says, look at it, he's a servant of the devil. Servants of the devil, they're all over the road. Some of them are your friends. They come to your house, you give them bed. How do I know they are Satan's agents? Wait till they start talking. I'm just advising you as a friend. They say you can only marry a Christian. Who told you only Christians are children of God? I'm just advising you as a friend, though. Listen, it's not because of your pastor. Just drag him to your church for a few weeks. You see what I'm saying? Tell your neighbor, that's Satan. That is Satan. You are waiting for one old man in the village to be casting spell. They say that he's casting a spell upon you. No. You see, in fact... You know, the joke I crack all the time, a lot of big men who go to pastors for prayer against all the witches worrying them, then the original witch waits for them inside the car. They come and they are fighting. All the witches that want to get, they won't get you. The real witch that's eating his liver, the real witch that's using his kidneys to do suya, you know kidney suya, she's waiting in the car. And she's the one rubbing his back, understanding all his pains. Because his own wife is a very wicked, she's a witch. The wife at home is a witch. This is a kind girl. You get my point? Meanwhile, she's the real witch he does not know. You see why I'm saying this? We're talking about warfare. You go to churches, and they're saying, hey, all the Ogboni people, listen, most Satans are not in the Ogboni. Most evil spirits that are fighting you, they don't know the road to a shrine. In fact, they don't even believe in the devil. There are nice people that work in offices. I hope you know what I'm saying. They work with you in office. They don't do any seriously bad thing. They don't. They don't use bad language. It's when it comes to counseling you in life, that is where they operate. They start telling you, in fact, this is how you know them. Once it is, has God really said, just know that is what? Satan. You don't need... Forget how he or she is dressed. And you know, I told you this one last year, and I'm sure you know it. And the church I went to on Sunday, I was very happy when the man of God was preaching. And he also said that to my wife, I'm excited. Somebody else is saying this thing. That most of those Babalawos of those days, they now are pastors. Yes. This is the funny part. The Babalawos, that is the, you know those people, the Dibias, they now operate deliverance ministries. It's not funny. Wear a suit, carry a Bible, and operate deliverance ministry. So if you are waiting to see the devil in a shrine, forget it. We're talking about we're talking warfare. So most people, they don't understand who their enemies are. Many people have gone to the homes of their enemies to pray against their enemies. Man of God, pray for me. That's your real enemy. I got another message today. Somebody forwarded the message to me. He said, Ogasio, I read it. A pastor, in quote, he said to me, I think the man is a 419 man. But I've not had time to reply. I said, no. He may not be 419. He may just be a stupid man. It happens. There are stupid people in ministry also. It's not only in business you have stupid people. There are many stupid people in ministry. So don't just hear this. That the pastor told a couple about to marry, a man and a woman, that he is a more important spiritual authority in the life of the young woman, that the man is only the head in domestic affairs. All I did was laugh. Tell your neighbor, Satan. That is Satan. Spiritual warfare, people are waiting to go to the shrine. You know, you go and surround where the evil spirits do sacrifice. You now be casting them down. Some people in the choir behind you. Oh, the Lord is good. Go and read Rick Joyner, Final Quest, and The Call. You don't understand what I'm saying. Read those two books. So when I'm talking about spiritual warfare, stop trying to identify. That's the point I'm making. That woman, the way she looks at me, many times I drive past, that's why I had an accident. I've always known in that house the worship of Ogbanje spirit. And that is why I'm having problems in my house. Ogbanje spirit next door is giving you problems in your house. You should know you have a serious problem before they came. You had it. If you're a real child of God, they should have been complaining that pastor next door, you're not even a pastor, you're just a normal human being. But the spiritual force around you should have been causing them sleeplessness. Now, therefore, park before their rent expires. Not to come to church, say, come and bind the spirits in the next house. What am I saying? People often are waiting to be able to. But the truth is that just like God is not only in church, Satan is not always in a shrine. Most Satans in this world today, they don't join the occult. Most who are in the occult, they are looking for money. I hope you know that. They are not trying to cause you trouble. They are looking for protection for themselves. The people who are really fighting you, the people that Satan indwells, some of them are your friends, some of them are your bosses at work. This is the sad part of it. Some of them are even your parents. How do you describe the operation of Satan? Anyone who tries to subvert the authority of the word of God in your life is working for Satan. If you heard me say amen. I hope you are following me. Please, I hope you are following me. Anyone who tries to subvert the authority of the word of God in your life is working for Satan. Alright, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. So anyway, what I've said in all of these things, I hope you followed it. And that's the fact that spiritual warfare is a constant battle. It's not only when you see an Ogbanje spirit crossing the road that you now park your car and bring out your spiritual gun. No. That's what I'm trying to say. You are driving with a friend. He utters something that is not in line with the word of God. Draw out your spiritual gun. What did I say? Draw out your spiritual gun. Say, I should kill my friend. The weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh. They are mighty through God. For what? The pulling down of strongholds, not the killing of our friends. That's what I want to emphasize. We wrestle not against friends and people who can see, but against principalities and powers, which often speak through some friends. That's what I'm saying. How do I know? It's in the scriptures like that. There was a time Jesus was trying to explain the divine order, the purpose of God for his life. And you know what happened? Satan jumped inside the friend, the very close friend and ally of Jesus Christ, Peter, and said, that word will not come to pass. You will not follow the will of God for your life. No, we know you were born for this, but we don't care. It must not happen to you. Satan did not know. Peter did not know. He was just cooperating. Jesus had to wake him up. Oh boy, you are working for the devil. I assume that's when the guy woke up. I said, what did I say just now? You were operating for Satan. Which kind of gun did he bring? Did you see this poster I saw recently? Operation Point and Kill. Now, church. I see the pastor post like this. This witch must die. Now, poster. The other one I saw, Koboko Night. Come with your Koboko. What I want to do, I'm going to Koboko the devil. No, that was not what the Lord Jesus did. His utterance all the time, all right, was simple. It is written. What did I say? It is written. That is why it doesn't have to cause quarrel between you and your friend. If you say, listen, you know, the way things are going, I don't understand. There's no hope for any young man or young woman in this country. And you answer him simply, it is written. Those that wait upon the Lord, or those that seek the Lord, shall not lack anything good. Don't be tempted to say, let me not just offend him. It's true. In fact, I've been feeling bad recently. And I said, don't mind, I didn't believe that thing. I was just saying because he's present. The Bible says, don't say before the messenger of God, it was an error. I'm emphasizing the fact that spiritual warfare is constant. It's every time. You wake up in the morning, your body starts fighting. You have a headache only on this left side, around the middle. You don't reach back, you don't reach front. And then you give it a name. And whatever name Adam gave the living creature, that was his name. I think I have migraine. And that becomes a name. I don't know what you're saying. That's the power. That is the authority that Christians have. You wake up. This is the seventh time this is happening. Last year, January, I remember very well because it was immediately the day after the New Year celebration. It was January 2nd. It happened like this. It was narrow at that time. Then the other one, I remember it was around May because this was the day we were preparing for Easter weekend. It expanded a bit. You know, remember my birthday? You know, I didn't come out on time. It was this same headache. You know what they are doing? You are giving it what? A name. If there's a Satan in front of you, he'll cooperate and say, it's true. It smells like migraine. It feels like migraine. It looks like migraine. Anything that smells like, feels like, and looks like migraine is migraine. I think you have migraine. And you say, yes, I agree with you. Let's join hands and thank the Lord that. Now, when we're doing this, we don't know. We're just talking normally. You should see a doctor before you die suddenly. You have migraine. Then sit and say, so I'm welcome here. Say, yes, you're welcome. You can come anytime I feel angry or tired. After a while, you realize that anytime I'm angry and tired like this, usually that is when, are you getting my point? You are describing it. You soon get used to it. The guy will park and come to your house. You know why you didn't realize? Because you thought it's only when we get to the shrine, when we get to Okija shrine, we now bring our spiritual kuboko and start fighting. You woke up in the morning, accusations were rising up against you, and you were confirming it, and you hired the Satan to agree with you. You didn't realize that you woke up into warfare. Are you getting my point? What should we have done simply when things like that occur? Himself took my infirmities and my diseases. By his stripes I've been healed. This headache, you can't steal. Not here. You know, you have not brought down the heavens in prayer. This headache today, you will go today. That's not bad prayer. I'm just saying it's unnecessary. Because that one, you have to wake up, you have to fast. Yes, you have to fast. Say, when is it? This headache is yesterday. Okay, let me give another one day so I can have enough time to fast. You know, the devil does not fast though. I hope you understand that. Doesn't take time out to fast before he attacks you. He's just going around looking for whom he will devour. Who he will whack up. That's what he's looking for. What am I saying? You wake up like that, it doesn't have to be a long prayer, you know, agitation, gymnastics. You just respond. The way he tried to suggest coolly, you too, you answer coolly. You think Jesus wasn't there in the wilderness and say, Listen, man shall not live by bread alone. I said, oh, he's a prayer warrior. He's praying. Depart from here. Praise God. He has gone. No. As the guy whispered out, now say whisper him back. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain? That's just what I'm making. So you are still feeling sleepy, and that's your segmental headache is trying to manifest. And you just nicely and segmentally talk to it also. That, boy, this head can't contain two of us. I need this head for thinking, for praying, for meditating, for giving God glory. And it has been redeemed. So find somewhere else and go. Himself took my infirmities and my diseases. By his stripes, I have been healed. Thank you, Jesus. I thank you. And that's it. Coolly. Spiritual warfare. I think Christians, one of our problems is that we are too external in our, you know, in our behavior. Everything is too... If you are not shouting the house down, you are not really praying. If you want to cast out a big demon, you get loudspeakers. You know, it's all over town now. Oh, you see a church, there are four people inside. They have a loudspeaker. No, we are very nice here. We have only one speaker inside here. And the volume is down so that it doesn't echo. If you say I did ready, well. You know, we have two speakers, two good ones. One is permanently disconnected. I'll put one in front. Why? The louder the speakers, the more effective the ministry. You know, it's a lie. We carry that to our prayer life also. So we can't respond to the devil until we have gotten ready. And I think a lot of times we lose the advantage. Let me just summarize it like that. I'll pray about this thing later. Let me give you some time. This headache has been disturbing me for the last 6 months. I'm going to give it another 3 months to get ready to drive it away. My emphasis is that spiritual warfare is when? Continually. It's continual. It's continual. It's continual. Satan manifests every way. It doesn't only show from shrine. Forget that one you see in Mount Zion on television. Anytime I see Mount Zion, do all those people that paint their faces, I'm discouraged. Bro Zion, don't be angry with me. There's a reason why I'm saying so. I think you should modify that. You should modify it. Most of the Satans don't wear red and black. They wear Armani suits. You get what I'm saying? The female Satans use Mary Kay. They dress very nicely. And there are different ones. Some of them dress as if they go to deeper life to catch those who go to deeper life. And some hang out 8 hours downstairs to catch guys. Oh, you think Satan left you alone because he went to church? No. So when I see all the painting of Satan, oh, I feel like I understand that they will now put black thing on the teeth. Devil has nice white teeth, let me tell you. You can't identify Satan by the teeth. That's just what I mean when I say that. When I see those movies, I'm not happy. I think you should depict Satan the real way that Satan is. You understand my point? Nice guy. Yes, a lot of times nice guy. There are different kinds of Satan. Like I told you, there are nice guy Satans that live with Esau. You know Esau in the Bible? He didn't use a cause problem for anybody. Jacob was the troublemaker. But Satan had more time in the life of Esau. Then there are some other Satans that are armed robbers. You know, like they use the smoke, they use cocaine, you know, they go to bad places. All of them are Satan. Once they try to subvert the word of God in your life. Are you getting what I'm saying? And I want you to understand that spiritual warfare, therefore, is continual. Like I was saying earlier, you don't have to be able to identify somebody or what you call attack. You don't have to be able to identify it. What you do is to constantly, remember the story of Delilah, the young man asking me how you will identify this Delilah. I said, you don't need it. Just maintain your strength. Make sure you don't lose your strength. You get what I'm saying? You don't lose that spiritual fortitude that the Lord has given you. If you don't lose it, and your name is Samson, let them send after you 1,000 Delilahs. You won't even know. You may be able to identify one of them, but you won't even know they were Delilahs. You will overcome them and you continue going. In the same manner as believers, we keep the shield of faith up constantly. And we are always wielding the sword of the Spirit. And then any Satan that runs against it is on his own. You understand what I'm saying? That's it. And that's the principle. Alright? If the Lord makes it clear to you that there's a specific Satan to attack, then go after it. Otherwise, constantly.
constantly. We put up the shield of faith and then keep on shooting with the sword of the Spirit. Now, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. If you are following me, say amen.
Amen.
All right, so we read a particular scripture. I just wanted to emphasize that. So, I was saying when I started that this Psalm 91, open your Bibles to it again. Now, I've taught from this verse 1 again and again. Let's just review what we have said in previous times. Use that to pray. He said, he who dwells... Let me just use King James. He said, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Now, remember, I will explain this one, but let me just go over it again. He said, he who dwells. I said, this is how God did it. He said, the man, a person can make the conscious effort to dwell in the secret place of the Most High. And the consequence is that God will cover that person with his shadow. That is, you and I, there are things we will do that will cause God to spread his shadow over us. And what does it mean to have the shadow of God over somebody? Now, it's the way we can easily understand it is when you see the story that Daniel, the dream that Nebuchadnezzar had and Daniel had to interpret. He saw a tree, you understand? And the tree had big branches and a lot of leaves, all right? And then the birds of the air, they were coming to hide under its shadow. Are you getting what I'm saying? That's why they were living. What does that mean, therefore? If you look at that interpretation, what he was saying is that this great king has become a source of provision for a lot of people. It's a source of security for them. So that's just simply what it means when I'm talking about being under God's shadow. That is, God will be your defense. He will be your provider. Very important, all right? Those are the things that God will do for you. And I said that for you to have that experience, you consciously dwell in his secret place. And how do you do that? It's in verse 2. It said, I will say of the Lord. Some versions say, I will say to the Lord. But they are saying about the same thing. So I will say of and to the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Now you notice something here. We described this before, talking about the praises of God. Later on we'll get into it. Okay, we started it already. Talking about the power of knowledge, all right, in the realm of the Spirit. What that means. Now, the name, all right, that you call God in your life is what describes, or let me say, that's what opens the door for what he will do in your life. Do you get what I said? It's the name that you call God. Anything, any name you give somebody or anything, they try to fit that role in your life. If they have the abilities, fine. If they don't have the ability, then you're in trouble. But as believers, what we do all the time is to call God the name, all right, that he bears in a particular situation in our lives. Now, listen to me to one music here with Israel yesterday. We're walking here. Yesterday and the day before yesterday. And when we're walking, I'll be hearing, what's that word again? Mekedishki is your name. Jehovah, Jehovah, Mekedishki. I said, after a while, I said, Israel, what is that? He says, Mekedishki. I said, what is Mekedishki? Now, I thought I would have investigated before getting here, but I forgot. Israel, have you gone to find out? Oh, Bishop, they say you are the one that brought the music. I'm not saying it's bad music, or it's Hebrew. I'm sure it's a Hebrew word. All right? So the song is very nice, Mekedishki. So anytime it comes up Mekedishki, I start laughing. So I said, look, guys, when you want to pray, please avoid this Mekedishki thing. It's a good... It's a good song, really. It's nice. All right? Uh-huh. It's very nice. It's the name of God, except that you don't know the meaning. You know, you just go there. You wake up in the morning, hallelujah. Father, I want to worship you. Mekedishki, Mekedishki. God said, are you talking to me? He said, Lord, yes. What did he say? I said, Mekedishki. What does it mean? You have no idea. I know it's Hebrew. It's a good name. Are you getting my point? Except that you don't know what it means. You don't know what it means. Now, I keep on telling Christians, be careful. When you want to praise God, don't embarrass him. All right? Sometimes people say, praising God, are you talking to me? Say, you mean you have to ask whether I'm talking to you? Was that not your name I mentioned? No, you said Mekedishki. Anybody can be Mekedishki. Depending on what you are talking about. Are you getting what I'm saying? Now, the Lord is good. I said, the Lord is good.
Now, rather than speaking Hebrew, if you can speak Hebrew, it's good, all right? It's good. It's just a language, all right? It's just as good as if you spoke Kanuri. Both of them are good languages, all right? As long as it's coming from your heart. What's more important? This is the point. What's more important is that, you see, life presents challenges all the time. Let me just quickly say that. And in each challenge, in each situation, there is a name that God bears. And the name that's real to you is that name that you call God in that situation. I listened to Miles Moore long ago explain that. He said that when God sent Moses, Moses asked the Lord, "Who should I say sent me?" Derek Prince explained part of it. God said to him, "I am that I am." So when you get there, Derek Prince said, "Tell them that he is sent you." And Miles Moore explained it like this, that what he was saying is simple. That when Moses asked, "What is your name?" That God was saying, in effect, that my name is big. Where do I start from? Where do I stop it? So I'll give you that name that it will manifest when you get to different situations. Are you getting my point? So at the point in time, he became the bread of life. Are you getting what I'm saying? That's it. So when they are hungry, to the people, God becomes the bread of life. That's what I was trying to explain.